Good morning, everyone. Welcome. Good to see you out this morning. First of all, I'd like to apologize to our listeners over the internet for not being on last Sunday. It was kind of a last-minute decision that I made, and I really didn't have a lot of time to announce it. But just because it was celebrated last, our Thanksgiving was celebrated last week, or rather the culture we live in and the world we live in celebrates Thanksgiving last weekend, or the calendar does, that doesn't mean it's too late to speak about Thanksgiving today, because for the Christian, Thanksgiving is daily. Thanksgiving is an everyday thing, not just once a year where we give thanks for things that we can remember, but every day a continual Thanksgiving. In Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to open with that scripture this morning. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 to 20, it says this: "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts unto the Lord, giving thanks always." The word "always" there is always, continually. "For all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Then again in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and I'm reading these scriptures for those of you who doubt whether we're supposed to live a life of thanksgiving every day. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 18 says this: "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Now, I think we can all agree here today that having an attitude of gratitude is a really nice thing to have. We like to be around people that are grateful. I don't know about you, but it's hard to be around people that are always complaining and, you know, murmuring about something. And so it's a great characteristic to have and possess, to be thankful, to have an attitude of gratitude. And we also know, and we hear it saying all the time, and parents say this to their children all the time, complaining doesn't help. Complaining usually makes the situation worse. And but few of us really realize or understand fully the power of Thanksgiving, and that's what I want to talk about a little bit this morning. The spiritual power behind being thankful. God doesn't just throw things out there because it looks good, you know, it sounds kind of nice. You know, be thankful, you know. There's a reason God tells us to be thankful in all things and every day. A very big reason. And it's a very important understanding that we need to have of Thanksgiving, especially in the time in which we live in today. It's easy, very easy to complain. Am I right? It's very easy. We look around and there's a lot of things to complain about. But we need to understand that the giving of thanks is in direct correlation to us, you and I, as Christians, living a life filled with the blessings of God, even in the midst of all of the curses and the chaos that goes on in our world. It's in direct correlation to it. Truly it is. And you know, it's in the Word of God, and even living a Christian life, it's the little things that matter. We're always looking for the big things, the big revelations, but it's really the little things that make all the difference to our living and to the way we live and the fruit in our lives. So in the book of Psalms, the Bible tells us in Psalm 78, verses 40 and 41, it says in verse 40, it says, "How often did they provoke him," meaning God, "in the wilderness, and grieved him in the desert. Yes, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel." Now the word I want to key in and draw our attention to this morning is the word "limit." The Bible tells us that God is able to do, in Ephesians 3:20, it tells us God is able to do exceeding, far above, abundantly above anything you could ever ask or even think of, Dominic. Think of some of the things in your mind that are so wild and out there. God is able to do above, exceeding above. That word is for Edith. I'm sorry, I had to be obedient to that. The Holy Spirit just, God is able to do above anything you can even imagine. Okay, you take that. I don't know what that means in your life, but it's for you. And all of us, but specifically for you this morning. But it's us who put the limits on God. We limit God in our lives. So let's ask ourselves this question. We just read that they limited the Holy One of Israel. Who are we talking about? We're talking about the Israelites, okay? God had sent Moses in to deliver his people who had been in bondage for 430 years under Egyptian bondage. It was a hard bondage. They were slaves. And God raised up Moses and said, you go in and you deliver my people. And I might add, he delivered them very miraculously. If we know the story, when God finally brought them out of bondage, they came out, there was how many million? Was it 2.5 million people? Now, it was young people, babies, middle-aged people, and very old people. And the Bible tells us that at that time, when they were, because they were on foot, remember, not one was feeble. Not one was sick. Now, if we gathered 2.5 million people, how many, even Christians, how many of us would be sick? We could never say there wasn't one sick or feeble or lacking in some way. It almost seems like an impossibility. And yet, when God brought his children out, there was not one feeble among them. That in itself was miraculous. Of course it was miraculous. They were all strong for the journey. And then on the journey, he parted the Red Sea. He parted an ocean or a sea for them to cross through because the enemy was right on their tail. And then when he brings them out into the desert, he provides for them water out of a rock. There was no water in the desert, so he made water spring out of a rock. And then they had nothing to eat, so he rained bread from heaven. And because it was hot during the day, he provided a nice big cloud to keep them cool. And at night in the desert, it gets cold. And so he had a big fire. He would light a huge fire in their camp. Fire by night, cloud by day. It was amazing what God did and how he brought them out and provided for everything that they needed. Plus, and to make it even, the whole thing was that God had brought them out of bondage, out of the land of Egypt, and he promised them, the promise was, I'm going to bring you into your own land, a land that you can't even imagine. It will be so fruitful, a beautiful land. Flowing, the Bible tells us, with milk and honey, which is just a term that would be very rich, a very rich land. And it's going to be your own land. And that's where we still have, to this day, Israel. That was the land God had promised his people he was going to bring them into. So he showed them throughout their journey his faithfulness. He showed them, and yet, what did the people do? Why did they grieve him? Why did they limit him? Because all they did was murmur and complain. They complained against Moses, Aaron, and God. In fact, it got to the point where they wanted to turn back. You know, at least back there, we had onions and leeks and cucumbers to eat and melons to eat. You know, like, why did you bring us out into this miserable place? Just to kill us? And yet they didn't lack. God was there for them. And plus, he had promised them they had to get from point A to point B. But no, they murmured and complained. What is the opposite of being thankful? It's murmuring and complaining. And so these things are written for our learning, the Bible says. You know, the Old Testament stories are there for us to look back. And so that we don't continually make the same mistakes, Okay? Now, even in the natural, when we do something nice or give something nice to someone, in order to help them, our heart is to help them or bless them, and all they do is murmur or complain about it. They don't appreciate what you've done. And I mean, we get that with our kids, we get that with, you know, we do come up against that in this life, in the natural. You know, it doesn't make us want to continue to give, right? If you give someone something, and it might not be anything really big, could be something just very small, and the person is just so grateful, and so you just feel good, you would like to bless that person more. It makes you want to bless that person more. And yes, that's probably the way our Lord feels about thankfulness as well. But it goes deeper than that. There's a lot more to it than just making God feel good and making him want to bless you more. You know, God doesn't limit his blessing, or the blessing of God is not limited in our life, because God doesn't feel like blessing us. Okay, God is not like man. You know, if someone throws something back in your face after you've, you know, gone out and given them something, you aren't going to bless them again. Why? Because you don't feel like it's worth it. You don't feel like they deserve it. And so you won't, right? But that's not God. God doesn't get caught up in feelings, okay? Like we do. So we need to ask this question. How does God get blessings to us? Or how do the blessings flow to us? Or another question is, how do we obtain blessing from the Lord? Well, all good things come through or via the channel of what? What's the channel that we receive everything from God? Faith. All good things. Just like in this world, I always say that's the currency of heaven. The currency in this world is money. And that's why the Bible says you can't serve both worlds. You are either going to live by faith or you're going to live by money. Make your choice. The only thing is, money can't buy everything. Money's limited, but faith opens up the door to everything. So all things come to us through the channel of faith. Without faith, we can receive nothing from the Lord. Do you understand that? You know, it's amazing how many Christians think. And you can tell, because they get angry with God because certain things don't happen or aren't automatically happening in their lives. And they want to blame God. But the Bible says you have not because you've asked not, you believe not. All right? James chapter 1 verses 6 and 7 says this. And this is a basic fundamental truth of walking as living in this life as a Christian. Is you must live by faith. James chapter 1 verses 6 and 7 says this. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. In other words, don't doubt. When you waver, you're doubting. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. What does it mean to be driven with the wind? Well, the wind represents things that come blowing into your life. You know, in other words, you believe you're healed as long as you feel good. But as soon as adversity or sickness and disease comes knocking on your door, now you're, you know, this thing, you're being tossed with the realization, or in the natural, you're being tossed around. For let that man, the man who wavers, it says, for let that man think that he will, for let that man think that he, let not that man, sorry, I forgot to put the word not in my notes, for let not that man think that he will receive anything of the Lord. In other words, without faith, you can't receive anything from the Lord. In fact, it's impossible to please God without faith. So God's ways. Now remember, we're talking about how to obtain or receive the blessing of the Lord. God's ways are directly opposite to man's ways. Whenever you want to know what God's ways are, just look at the ways of the world and go exactly 100% opposite to that, and that's God's ways. Man's ways says, I'll believe it when I see it. God says, God's ways say, I'll see it when I believe it. It's exactly opposite. In the natural realm, you give thanks for the thing that you, when you receive it. In God's kingdom, you give thanks before you receive it. That's faith. Thankfulness brings increase every time. When you are thankful, and I want you to really understand this, when you are grateful, you are releasing blessing, is what you're doing. You're blessing your own life. When you are thankful for your children, you bless them and increase. Blessing is all over them. When you are thankful for your spouse, you are blessing them. You are releasing increase, blessing into their lives. When you curse or complain, you're doing exactly the opposite. Don't ever forget that lesson. And isn't it funny in our lives? The things that we are the most grateful are the things that are prospering. And it's true if you really just stop and contemplate that. The things you are the most grateful for prosper. Why? Because God has an open door. You understand? Things we are most grateful just continue to prosper. Things we complain about seem to get worse. Why? Because there's a spiritual force at work here that we're not even aware of. We think, oh, well, everybody complains, you know. And this is not just a nice little suggestion that, oh, we ought to be thankful because it's just such a nice characteristic and virtue. No, 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 no. There's power in it. It is one of God's ways. It is God's way to bless us. And as soon as we start complaining, God is limited. He's got to hold back. The avenue gets clogged, so to speak. Because God's goodness, you see, God is beaming towards, and God is life, and God is goodness. It's beaming towards you all the time. And if you would open up and just really just have that faith, it would knock you over. You'd be so overwhelmed with his blessing. But it's because we limit him by either unbelief or, you know, there's things that clog that blessing from getting to us. But that doesn't mean God isn't giving at all times. God is not just sitting up there on his throne and waiting, you know, and to release something. He's already released it. And that's what we as Christians need to understand. He's already released everything. And we can either stand and receive it, stand right in that channel to receive it, or we can stand over here and it just goes by us. And that's a good way to look at life. It's always coming your way, no matter what it is, no matter what blessing it is you might need. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 tells us to bear witness with this word. It said, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. The word hath blessed is past tense. It's not something he's going to be doing in the future. He's done it. It's already been released with all and every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Jesus is the promised land God has given us. The Bible tells us, if we read a little further in this chapter, it says, we in the beloved, in Christ, we are accepted. The word accepted means highly favored. You are highly favored. But you have to stand in the channel in order to be highly favored. You've got to believe it. You've got to receive that favor. And too many of us don't see ourselves as highly favored. It's like we're always trying to crawl up to some bigger place. You know, and we always see, it's not that we don't believe the word, but we always see it for future, right? We always see everything in the future. But the Bible says that now faith is. Faith has to be now, right now. Irregardless of what I see, irregardless of what I feel, I'm highly favored. Does it matter if my finances are all over the place and I'm not sure I have enough to make it through. It doesn't matter whether the doctor has given me a bad report. It doesn't matter how old I am. It doesn't matter of any of these things. I am right now highly favored. I'm not waiting for tomorrow anymore, because tomorrow never comes. Because tomorrow it's going to be tomorrow again. So we need to step into that ray, so to speak. I like to use rays coming down from heaven, all the blessings, right? Step into your ray and receive it. It's yours. Don't be looking at it and saying, well, one day I'm going to get over there, you know, when I got my act together and when everything's just, you know, when I think it's the right time. No. Today's the time. Today's the day, the Bible tells us. Don't put off tomorrow what you can do today. And I'm not talking about your good works. I'm talking about receiving what God has for us. The moment we believed on Jesus Christ and took him into our lives and we were placed into him, the Bible tells us, we received all forgivenesses of our sins. And at that moment, everything that Jesus is and has, and we became a part of that. We're his body. You know, it's like saying my brain is blessed, but my body's not. You know, you can't divide yourself. You're one whole being, even though you are three parts. And what affects one part of your being is going to affect the rest of your being. If your mind is sick, your body's going to be affected. If you're spiritually dead on the inside, if you're not born of the Spirit, it's going to affect your life, right? It's going to affect your whole being. And so Jesus is the head, but we're the body. And what affects Jesus affects us. And so when we were placed into him and received him, everything that he is became ours freely. It was freely. It wasn't free. He had to give up his life to get it to us. But to us, it's free. To us, it's free. But you know, it's easy for us to be thankful when things are going good. It is, when life is good. But what about when things in the natural appear to be bad? And that's when it's the most important, is when things aren't so good. That's when it becomes a sacrifice. To remain in a state of thankfulness in spite of the bad circumstances. And you know, when we look around and the way things are currently unfolding in this world, we have so many things threatening us on the horizon, you know, whether it be war or famine or, you know, all these things are becoming more and more real. We don't like what's happening around us. I don't know about you, but I surely don't think it's good. So it's easy for us to just settle and complain about everything. And we might not think it matters because we're justified in complaining because of what's happening. And everybody's complaining, not just you. And so you find yourself falling in to that trap. You know, like I did the other night, I opened up my gas bill. And it was three times higher than it was maybe a year ago. And we haven't even left the farm. I said to Cam, we don't go anywhere. How do we react? This speaks volumes to where you are. So I ranted and raved for a while. But I know, and the Lord really simply dealt with me on it and said, you need to give thanks in those moments. Like in the Old Testament, when there was great famine in the land, God came to Isaac and said, now's the time to plant your crop. Now, what farmer in the natural would want to go out and plant his crop in the midst of a 7-year drought? But Isaac was, he obeyed. He went out and he planted. And he had a bumper crop like he'd never had before. And so God's ways really are opposite. God's ways do not depend on what's happening in the world. And so when you open up your gas bill, what ought you to say? Okay. She's definitely blessed here. What do you say? Thank you that you supply all my needs according to your riches, not mine. Or, Lord, you got mail. You got a bill. You know, God has promised to meet our needs no matter what. It's not dependent on what's going on around us. Why? Because we've already been blessed with all and every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Do you think Jesus is worried about the gas price? He has all things, and so do you in him. And so instead of complaining, we release the blessing onto our finances in order to pay for the gas rather than complaining. If you complain, then it makes the situation worse. The prices will continue to go up and you will be less likely to be able to meet them. I'm just using gas as an example because I know it's something that, you know, all of us are dealing with. So it matters not how high the price goes. If God is your source, we only trust him in the midst. And so because we know what his word says and his promises to us, we can be thankful. We can be thankful. When we feel sick, do we complain about how awful we feel? Or do we simply just give thanks that by his stripe I am healed? Now, I'm not talking about positive thinking here this morning, because the world is using positive thinking too. I'm not talking about that. I am talking about believing the Word of God, the Word of God that never changes, the Word of God that is spirit and life. All of the things of this world are subject to change or passing away, no matter what it is. But never does God's word change, nor does it pass away. That's why it's when the Bible tells us we've received every Holy Spirit or spiritual blessing. And a lot of people say, see, there it is. It's not natural blessings. Don't expect money. Don't expect, it's spiritual. So then they think of things that would make them rich spiritually. All of God's blessings and promises are spirit. God is a spirit. The Word is a spirit. God created this world by the Spirit. And so, thank God it's spiritual blessings. Because if it was natural blessings, they'd all pass away too. But it's spirit, and it's life, and it's eternal. And so that blessing, that promise is good. From the time you are born until the time you die. It never passes away or loses its power. Healing is yours forever. Prosperity is yours forever. So yes, it's spiritual blessings. But what is spiritual, we bring it down by faith and it becomes our reality. So we activate the Word of God, which is spirit, by believing it and giving thanks for it. Believing it and giving thanks for it. And Jesus himself watches over his own word, the Bible tells us. He is the high priest over the confession of our mouth. He is the word. And when you confess and give thanks for something he's given you in his word, he watches over that. And it will come to pass. Now, I believe with all of my heart we are living in the end of the end of days. And I don't know all of the things we're going to have to face before the Lord returns. But I know one thing, that God has already given me everything and more than I will ever possibly need in order to walk through this time in blessing, in the light, and being a light and a blessing to others. That's his promise. I can live out my days, and so can you, without any fear and being confident that anything that you will have need of, and even more, has already been provided at the cross. And because I have freely received, that's what Jesus meant when he said to his disciples, you have freely received, now go and freely give. You have freely received. The problem with Christians, we don't freely give because we don't believe or have a revelation that we have freely received. And the enemy wants the church, that's you and I, at this hour, to focus on our lack, on lack, on everything except what God's word says to us. To focus on the world and even on ourselves. Because I don't know about you, but I've been listening to a lot more Christian TV in these last months, more so than I ever have. And I'm, you know, as a leader and a pastor, you want to see where the church is at, because we're all one body, you know, and just to hear from others and their take on it. I think it's very important. I don't want to isolate. We don't want to isolate ourselves. We live in a way out in the country where we are very isolated from other ministers and things that are going on. And so I feel like I need to make that connection. And what I'm hearing from some of the leaders, now I'm referring to church leaders, that is making me feel, or making you feel, if you're listening to a lot of this, that somehow going through these last days is like, woe is me. Like, it's not just like that. And it's not time to kick up your heels and party. But somehow in my heart, I think, well, that's just not, it does not bear witness with my heart, because I know that the coming of the Lord and the rapture is patterned after a Jewish wedding. Now, not all of Israel or the Jewish people celebrated it this way, but the people, Nazareth included, did. And it's amazing that Jesus came from Nazareth. And that would be that the groom would go to the bride's house, and they would become engaged, and they would have a drink of wine. He would have a drink of wine to kind of cement the covenant with the Father. And then he would leave. He would go back home. And he would say, well, I'm going to go now, and I'm going to go and prepare a place for her. And then I'm going to come back, and I'm going to take her with me. And then they will have the big wedding. Now, if that isn't John 14, you know, don't let your heart be troubled. I'm going to go away, but I'm coming back. I'm going to go away. And if I go away, I'm going to prepare a place for you, so that when I come back, I can take you unto myself, and I'll have a place all ready for you. Now, think about this Jewish wedding. Because, this isn't a fable this isn't fiction. This is the way they used to do these weddings. Now, the bride was to be ready at any time, because she never knew. She never knew when the groom was going to return, okay? And it was up to the father of the groom to say, okay, go get your bride. And that's why Jesus said, no one knows the hour except my Father in heaven. And at the moment, the Father looks at Jesus and says, okay, son, go get your bride. That's when the rapture takes place. Nobody knows it, not even Jesus. So what I'm saying is, if you were the bride in the natural back then, would you not be excited and anticipating? And if you saw that the signs were like, oh, it's coming close. You know, I don't know what the signs would be back then to show her that the day. But you know what? She even slept in her bride dress. Mm-hmm. Imagine the makeup she had to put on every day and make sure she was beautiful and ready. Because he could come during the night. He could come. She always had to be ready. And that's why the preaching of the message of the rapture is looked upon by the Lord as very special, because it continues to keep you ready. You know, get that makeup on. Get ready. Make sure you're ready. Have your dress on. But let me ask you this. If you knew in the natural, and you were one of those brides that was waiting for your knight in shining armor or your groom to come and get you, when you saw that it was getting close to that time, would you be afraid? No, you would be excited, anticipating his coming. And yet, what I'm hearing, I said all that to say this, what I'm hearing is fear. It's fear. It's putting fear into the hearts of God's children. Like they're not quite there yet. Like, oh my God, I might be left behind. Woe is me. Now I'm telling you, if you're getting any of that, it's wrong. Because the Bible says faith cometh by hearing the word of God. And the truth sets you free. It doesn't bind you up with fear. If you're getting fear, if you're walking away with fear and not faith, you know you're not hearing the right word. Because the truth will always give you faith. The truth will always set you free, not bind you up. And so we have to be aware of there are things now that are coming out that I'm just not on board with. You are already perfected. You already have been given all the blessing. And don't allow these words to get you, and I believe it's a tactic of the enemy, to get your eyes now on fixing you, getting you ready, instead of reaching out and taking as many guests to the wedding as you can, inviting as many people to the celebration as you can. You see, the enemy knows his hour is short, and he knows that if he can get us distracted with stuff that's, you know, trying to get into a room we're already in, you know, trying to perfect ourselves, and besides, we don't perfect ourselves, God perfects you. That he doesn't have to worry about you. You're so busy trying to get yourself ready for the wedding, you've forgotten that the guests, you're not going to be taking any guests with you. Because right now, it's all about the guests. We have our garment, our robe of righteousness. We have our jewels on. We're ready. And now we're just going out and we're going to gather up all the people we want to take with us to the wedding. So don't be fooled. If you're hearing fear, it's not the truth of the word. It always comes to set you free and build your faith, not fear. So in closing, I want to turn over to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13. Verse 15 says, by him, therefore, let us offer sacrifices of praise to God continually. There's that word again. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Thanksgiving coming out of our mouth. Now, I'm going to use this comparison so that we can understand what this is talking about. Under the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, once a year, we all know that, I've preached on it many times, the children of Israel, God's chosen, had to bring a sacrifice, okay? It had to be a lamb, a bull, a calf, whatever. And he had to bring it to the high priest to offer it up for his sin, okay? Why? So that the curse wouldn't come upon him, so that the blessing, we're talking about the blessing, could be released into his life. Now, if the animal was acceptable, in other words, if it was without spot or, you know, it wasn't blemished or lame or anything, the high priest then would accept the animal on his behalf and he would kill it and he would take the blood of the animal and he would sprinkle the blood on the person who brought the sacrifice. And then that person would leave knowing that he had the blessing of God on him for how long? Anybody know how long?
1 year.
1 year. Thank you, Dominic. They had to do this once a year and then they're good to go. I'm blessed for the next year. I don't have to worry about it. How many of us can even go 1 day? They went, seriously, they understood the blessing that was on their lives. And if their animal was rejected, it was horrible. Or if the high priest was rejected, even worse. Because then they didn't go home blessed. They went home cursed. And they knew it's going to be, honey, it's going to be a rough year. It's like when you didn't get a crop. Okay, honey, we're going to make it through, but it's going to be rough. Until the next year and the next time they could offer. And so that's what they did under the old covenant. These blessings would come to rest on them and their families for 1 year. But today, under the new covenant, we don't offer bulls and goats and lambs or the blood from these animals as sacrifices any longer. Why? Because Jesus Christ, the sinless, spotless, pure Lamb of God, was offered up, the Bible tells us, once and for all. It's done. And we are now blessed, how long? Once and for all. It's done. There is no more offering for sin so that the blessings can be released. They were released. The blood has been sprinkled on you. We have been washed in the blood. Therefore, just like when the priests sprinkled the blood on the people back then, they knew, blessing! But we need to get that revelation. If you are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, because that's how you got saved. We are saved through our faith. We are saved by God's grace through faith in the blood. And so you're washed by the blood. So blessing is continual in your life. You can't escape from it. You can refuse to receive it, but it is yours because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And his blood cleanses us forever. But what we do offer up, and that's just what we read here, is thanksgiving for the sacrifice continually. The fruit of our lips giving thanks. We don't offer blood of animals anymore, but the fruit of our lips continually thanking him. For what? For the blessings. The word thanks in this passage, in verse 13, I was quite surprised as I did a study on this passage. The fruit of our lips giving thanks is a different word. And it's used only one time in the whole New Testament. It's not found anywhere else. And it is the word homologio. Homologio. It's actually two words. Okay? Now, it's made up of two words. Homo meaning to be the same, one and the same. Or it means together. Okay? Logio, we know logos means what? Anybody know what logos means? The word of God. Thank you, Shannon. But logio means a word said or a word spoken or an utterance. Now, you put those two words together. Homologio means to speak the same thing. It means to acknowledge, to confess, to profess, or assent to. So our thanksgiving or our thanks to God, the fruit of our lips giving thanks, is actually our profession of faith, our profession of thank you that I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. I am coming into agreement. I am acknowledging God's word as my blessing. He supplies all of my needs according to his riches and glory. You see, that's what thanks is. It's a profession of your faith, of the word of God. God loves that. That is the sacrifice in the midst of darkness in your life, in the midst of impossibility, in the midst of whatever you're going through. Confess and come into agreement with what God has said to you, and what God has said will happen to you. So it doesn't matter what the deal is, it doesn't matter where the lack is, where the need is. Come to him and offer up the thanksgiving. And just like in the Old Testament, the blessings came down when they offered up this animal. When you offer up and acknowledge his word over your circumstances, the blessings, the word becomes life, and that blessing is returned back to you exceedingly abundantly above all you could ever ask or think. And so as we go forward into this world of unknown things, and there's such crazy stuff happening in our world today that even 10 years ago, we would have laughed if somebody would have told us what's taking place. And so we have no idea how crazy it's going to get. But we need to be armed with something so simple as learning how to offer up thanksgiving in the face of all that's coming. Because there's nothing we're going to do to change it in the natural. We're not going to get up and fight with knives and guns and blow people away or, you know, none of that. But the fight is the fight of faith. No. We speak contrary to what we see in our lives. We come into agreement with what God says, not the world. And yes, you know what? Our faith is going to be tested. our faith is going to be tested. So it behooves us to study God's word and to keep our focus in the word of God and not in the media. Because the media is going to bring fear, is going to lead you down the wrong path. It's going to cause you to be angry and complain. But the word of God will never let you down. Amen. We're going to stop this morning and we're going to have communion.
That it brings to our remembrance all of the pain and the suffering that Jesus, your Son, went through in order that we might be healed and be whole in this life. So as we partake of this bread, we give you thanks that by your stripe, we are the healed. Irregardless of what we feel in our bodies, Father God, our bodies need to come into line with your word. For at the name of Jesus, everything that has a name must bow. So, Father, we just speak to our bodies to bow to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave it all up, who took all of our sickness and disease in his own body, that we might be set free, healed, and made whole. Not one feeble among your people, Father God. And we just give you all the praise and glory that as we partake of this bread, we are partaking not just of healing and health, Lord, but divine health. Thank you, Father God, for divine health in each one of our bodies. In Jesus' name. Proclaim his death. That death took our place, took the place of our death, that we are now free from death and all of the curses and the stages of death, Lord. We're so grateful, Father God, that this blood protects us from all evil. Your word teaches us that no evil can befall us, nor any plague. Now come nigh our dwelling place, because the blood of Jesus Christ has completely washed away all of our sin and made a way for us to receive every blessing. So we thank you for our salvation, all because of this cup of blessing. In Jesus' name. Father, I just release a blessing upon your people here today, that their eyes would be opened up and that you would show them how blessed they really are. That going forward, we could always be thankful. Why? Because this word is as a reality in our lives. If we truly believe we are the blessed, then no matter what happens, we can remain thankful. And so, Lord, I ask for a revelation from the Spirit to open up our eyes and show us who we really are and the blessing we have in and through it only because of your Son, Jesus Christ. May He receive all the glory and the praise from each one of us, Father. And we thank you for this week and for all of the blessings you have in store for each one of us through Jesus Christ. And all the saints said, Amen.